You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. I don't need to tell you this. If you have been driving around this morning, back to school is in full swing, with millions of students returning to the classroom across California. But in recent years, something else has become increasingly common, especially in colleges and universities, the use of artificial intelligence like ChatGPT. As AI becomes a bigger part of students' and teachers' lives, it has raised concerns about preserving academic honesty, which in turn has led companies to create detectors to crack down on students submitting AI-generated content, and some universities are spending a lot of money on them. But how effective are these detectors at separating what's written by a human versus a program? And what are the implications of students turning more and more to a chatbot or AI system for answers instead of a teacher or a mentor? To help us break down some of these issues, we're joined by Tara Garcia Mathewson. She's a Spencer Fellow at Columbia University and a former CalMatters education reporter. Welcome to Insight.
Thank you.
Okay, so for some background, if someone like myself hasn't been in a classroom for a while, it's been several years since AI started coming into widespread use in an education setting. How has it created concerns about academic honesty and integrity in that time?
ChatGPT's public release pretty instantly created panic in schools, because this is a bot that you can, go for free to a website, type in a request like, write me a paper about a topic in this class, make it sound like, you know, a high schooler, make it sound like a college student. And within seconds, you have the entire paper in front of you. And so since so much of school is really graded with papers and essays, I think schools were among the first to really panic pretty broadly. And so there's been a mix. Some faculty have been slower to begrudge the presence of AI in higher ed at first. Some people kind of withheld panic, I guess, just to see how it played out and expected their students to stay honest, especially in the higher ed space. I think, students are paying to be there. There's an element of kind of career development that goes into a lot of students' college experiences. But faculty, in some cases, faculty have become increasingly kind of worn down by their students' AI and chatbot use and even mundane assignments.
Yeah, well, in response, there's also technology to help root out this plagiarism. You focused on one major plagiarism checking company. It's called Turnitin. How big of a player are they?
They're huge. And so Turnitin actually got its start right around 2000, with a plagiarism checker. So this is when the internet became really widely used. So this is kind of the last panic cycle and how students might be able to cheat online. And so the original plagiarism detector let faculty run student papers through a detector that would then point out where the writing in the student paper matched up with the writing in some other piece of academic writing, or maybe another student paper that had been turned in on that campus before. And so the AI detector came later. And so Turnitin has been kind of the leader in this academic integrity tech space for decades, really. They're a $1 billion company. So they're the clear market leader here.
How much do these services cost?
They charge a fairly minimal campus fee, and then the subscription cost is really per student. And you see a range. I requested records from across California. And so not only was trying to find out how much campuses had paid over time for Turnitin, but when I got those records, I could see how much they were paying per student on a given year. And so I could see some variation. UC Berkeley, for example, is paying $2.11 per student. Antelope Valley College, $3.03 per student. And this is for the same tool in the 2021-22 school year. And UC Irvine's continuing ed department was paying $6.50 per student the same year. So there's pretty wide variation.
Okay. I mean, so that means that affects budgets differently, whether you're at UC Berkeley versus a Cal State. I mean, the tuition varies greatly. However, there's still tens of thousands of students on campus. So why are there so many different prices?
Well, this is not like a consumer product where you look online, they post the product, they post the price, you put it into your online basket, and then you check out. This is really one-on-one between the company and the college setting the price. And so generally when colleges want a tech tool, they'll put out a request for proposals to companies. And then any company can put in a bid and say what their product is, what the capabilities are, and how much they'll charge for it. And so basically, Turnitin can look at the institution and decide how much they want their business and offer a deal or not. And sometimes they'll offer deals based on size and scale. So the Cal State University System has been able to negotiate less cost for its member institutions. Same for the Community College League of California. Sometimes schools band together to try and get a cheaper price together. But the fact remains that the pricing is pretty vague and kind of opaque. Turnitin has a lot of power in the negotiation.
Okay, so this company has been around for a couple decades now. It started, you know, around 2003, as you said, as the internet was really starting to take off. How reliable or accurate is this service in flagging AI-generated work from students?
That has been a really interesting part of the reporting process here, because the closer you look at the technology, the less sophisticated you see that it is. So the original plagiarism detector, plagiarism is kind of a subjective assessment. You know, a professor might decide, does this rise to the level of, repeating someone's ideas without attribution or copying, you know, without paraphrasing from some source? Professors, you could probably ask five different professors and they'd have five different definitions of what rises to the level of plagiarism in their course. But Turnitin's detector, all it flags is matching text. So anytime there's some overlap in text, so for example, United States Department of Health and Human Services is enough words together that could be repeated from one document to the next to flag the plagiarism detector. And the AI detector is similarly unsophisticated in that it was created to be able to identify writing that mirrors what AI-generated writing looks like. And so the way that AI-generated writing is crafted is basically advanced autocomplete. So, you know, this computer algorithm identifies what the next most likely word should be based on all of the reading that it has consumed to be able to craft a paper, to craft an answer to a question. And so because of the way it's kind of statistically chosen the next word, there are elements that you can create a program to look for to be able to find that AI-like writing. And so Turnitin's AI detector does flag text that's likely AI-generated, but it's not a tool that can say whether the student inappropriately used AI. You know, for example, did they write the paper themselves, but then use an AI-driven program like Grammarly to improve their grammar and syntax and writing before turning in the paper? And is that why it's being flagged? It's a tool that gives faculty some information, but it's not particularly sophisticated in being able to help have a clear cut, determination about whether students, acted without academic integrity.
When you talk to some faculty members, how do they feel about using this service like Turnitin?
A lot of faculty say they don't use it at all. A lot of faculty say it's just more work, that they don't like it. The fact is, faculty don't decide whether or not to pay for it. It's the colleges that pay for it. And so if some faculty are demanding a tool to help them confront this, it's discussed as a crisis in academic integrity, the institution would often purchase it for the entire school. So some faculty are forced to use it if there's a policy to give an institution that says faculty have to use Turnitin because maybe the university wanted to create just a level of parity from one class to another. Maybe they're requiring it. So some faculty are forced to use it, don't like it. I'm trying to think if I can kind of make a generalization here. I talked to a lot of administrators at different campuses as part of this reporting. And so a lot of college administrators do teach as well. So less often, but they also teach. Every administrator I talked to said they don't use Turnitin, even though they defended the institution, offering it to faculty that want it. And then there are some faculty that really rely on it. They feel like it's this tool in their toolbox to help combat academic integrity violations. And even though they describe, they don't describe a very useful tool, it's still a key part of their process in grading. They want to run the report. They want to see what it says, even if the tool itself, the output, isn't helping them make a final determination.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. If you're just joining us, we're talking with former CalMatters reporter Tara Garcia Mathewson about AI use in California colleges and universities and how it's impacting both students and teachers. So this comes as AI use is being used more and more among the student body. When you talk to students for your reporting, what did you learn about how they use or how they feel about the use of AI?
Yeah, I mean, I talked to some students who are kind of conscientious objectors who talked about the environmental toll of AI, and they kind of derisively commented on the idea that some assignments have AI use on both sides. You have a student using AI to create the assignment and have a faculty member using AI to try and, you know, suss out where the AI was or maybe even to grade as well. So some people did talk about this wider kind of environmental concerns over water usage and energy. I also heard a lot of interesting examples of how students are using ChatGPT or other chatbots directly. So you have students turning to the chatbots to help them craft an outline, help them, you know, figure out what to prioritize when they have a whole bunch of assignments due at once. There are students who write first and then turn to AI to assess their writing, and they'll upload their professor's rubric for grading. And then they'll ask the chatbot, does this essay fit the rubric, or suggest edits to better align with the rubric? So there are a lot of pretty creative uses. I didn't hear almost any students who said that they went directly to a chatbot to write an entire paper. Students were really using AI to help cut down on their work or maybe cut down on the energy it took to complete their assignments. And most often for classes they didn't care about. So not the major classes, but their, we call them distribution requirements where I went, the kind of, you know, required courses that they didn't necessarily want to take. So it was a way of kind of offloading work that they didn't want to do to create more time to spend on the work that was more important to them.
Okay. Well, before AI was used in a widespread fashion like now, I mean, you had tutors, office hours, other professors, counselors, peers, adults, you know, humans to help guide with this process. I'm sure that still happens on campus, but is the use of AI hindering those relationships?
Yeah, we're still really early, but there are definitely people sounding the alarm about the implications of having of students having access to really quick answers anytime they want them. It has always been the case that students fear or want to avoid asking for help on college campuses. So people, you know, you talk about imposter syndrome. You have students who feel like they're not good enough to be on campus. They don't want to go to office hours and ask their professors questions because they worry that the professors will think that they weren't paying attention or they're not smart enough or something like that. You have students who are completely busy with school, work, childcare, other caregiving, and you know, they don't have time to form study groups with peers. And so it's faster to go to ChatGPT and talk about an outline for a paper or a thesis statement than kind of take the time to build those other relationships. What people are worried about right now is that if students are outsourcing some of that help seeking from their peers, from faculty, from tutors, to chatbots, they're losing a really critical element of the good that comes from pursuing higher education. The networks are a huge part of what students get when they pursue a college degree.
Tara, thank you for joining us with your reporting.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Tara Garcia Mathewson is a Spencer Fellow at Columbia University and a former CalMatters education reporter. We've been talking about how the rise of using AI is creating issues in California colleges and universities, as well as how it's impacting both students and faculty. Still ahead, Amy Winehouse will be brought back to life this weekend by lounge singer Coco Lamar. She's fronting the Winehouse Revival in Midtown Sacramento, and we'll get a little taste. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.